Hello and welcome back to Kitchen Curiosity, the podcast that delves into people, projects and partnerships behind the food service equipment and hospitality industry. I'm your host, Radford Chancellor. And today we're in Castelfranco Veneto, if I said that correctly, a town in northern Italy, not known just for its charm, beauty, lovely surroundings, but it's also the home of Dia, a global dishwashing company. And we're actually recording in their showroom, in their factory, just outside the town of Castelfranco. Today's episode brings together international perspectives with decades of expertise. So we've got a representative from Dia, and we've also got two companies from Slovenia, a consultant and a leading distribution company. Just before we get started, a quick personal note. Today I'm joined off mic by my 12 and a half year old son, Jaden, who's here on school holidays. And we're giving him some behind the scenes outlook into our industry. So my first guest is Boris Anida, and he represents a company called Elmot Bled, who's a distribution company in Slovenia. Boris, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I'm fine. So basically, I came from Slovenia through the storms, and now I'm here in this beautiful, sunny Castelfranco, which is perfect.
Well, as I say, welcome. Your company is at kind of the forefront of equipment supply. Kitchen equipment, laundry, I understand. Can you give us a little bit of insight into the company and also your job and how you got into food service equipment?
Okay. So basically, I'm quite a new one in this company. So I work here almost 4 years.
Right.
So before, the CEO was my brother, who also made it happen that basically the company becomes as it is now. If I maybe just jump to the start, how it started. So basically, we are like 76 years old company, started right. with electro installation service and TV and radio maintenance. And then in 78, we basically started with kitchen equipment production. So dishwashing machines, coffee machines, grinders, toasters, pizza ovens, and so on. So
this
we were producing in our production facilities.
So actually manufacturing.
Manufacturing. And then, of course, when Yugoslavia separated, when the foreign companies, when the borders were open, foreign companies came to our markets, the competition became very strong, and at that point we had to decide how to continue, because of course with the technology and everything we were not so improved good as the companies from abroad. And that's why we decided to shift part of production to with some partners from abroad. So basically it all started, I think, in 1988 when my brother, my company was in Brno in Czech Republic on an exhibition, and at the same time there was also Deer in this exhibition and Mr. Casonato.
Right.
So our stand and Deer stand was very close, and Mr. Casonato came each day to visit my brother and to start preparing him in a way that at the end he would decide to quit dishwasher production in Slovenia
over a trade show.
shift to Deer. Of course, my brother said, "Come on, I cannot do this. I have workers. They need to work. If I come home with this news, they will throw me from the company immediately." And then Mr. Casonato was very persistent. Each day he came, each day better conditions. So at the end they shook hands, and basically this is how our cooperation with, or partnership with Deer basically started.
Okay, and you sell it as Deer, or is it different as your brand?
No, as Deer.
As Deer.
So yeah. We are selling it as Deer on ex-Yugoslavian markets, and yeah. So, and then slowly also other brands from Ali Group. Okay, at that time there was no Ali Group, but basically nowadays we work with some other brands from Ali Group, and yeah, we are like really strong partners. We became in almost, it's 40 years ago, almost 40 years ago when we started. So yeah, strong connections and good people on the other side, so we trust each other, and this is important.
Good story. So if we go back to sort of the beginning of your business, what were the challenges and sort of milestones or achievements of the business, if we go back?
Okay, basically a lot of things happened. As I told you before, we started as an electro installation service. Nowadays, we're a company that has a revenue over 10 million euros and 55 employees and another 20-30 people working for us, freelancers, or how to say. So yeah, we become quite bigger company as we were at the beginning, and of course a lot of things has changed in this path, in this, yeah.
And I guess as well as the geopolitics change, as the
geopolitics opens, constantly we need to adapt, and we are still adapting to our client needs. With help of good partners that we have, it's then much easier to grow in the business, and this is important. Yes, but changes are all the time, so I cannot say that we can just sit back and relax. We need to listen, to hear the market, what the end clients are saying. Then we discuss this with our partners, and also they do the new products in a way that they fit the most.
So just talk about the Slovene market, your home market for food service. I know you're supplying all over, but for food service and hospitality, what is it like? Is it different to say here in Italy or Austria, or is it just very similar?
I cannot say whether it's different than in Austria. Maybe my colleague then will add something here. But I would say that Slovenia is like a very small market. But since it is very close to Italy, a lot of competition is present. Yeah. So we really need to put a lot of efforts to step in front, to be in front, and of course to sell our products to end clients. And of course, they know what they want, at least the majority, and you need to be there with the right price, with the right quality, with the right service, after service. Especially this is very important, and if you maintain to do all this, then you can be successful, you can grow.
But yeah, of course.
Yeah, so otherwise I would say Slovenia, Croatia, Austrian market, at the end are the same. So they end clients, they need equipment that will easy their work.
Okay.
And that the machines are okay, that they are running without any problems, mm-hmm. and that they have a feeling that we stand behind them whenever they have problems, because we know also Mercedes can stop working, mm-hmm. and also all machines can stop work, and at that time it's important that we listen to them and then we help them immediately. So this is what we do, and why I think we are successful.
Successful, yeah. Yes. It's about service and backup,
yeah.
And looking at the customer. So as you said, you've worked with Deere many years. What is it about their equipment and their company culture that works for you?
Yes, we work, like I said, for many, many years. And I'm very happy that we work with them because, first of all, they have quality.
Okay.
Machines, and yeah, they're all the time trying to do something better, to be innovative. This is very important, and also when we need help from them, they ask, they reply immediately, so they are there for us. And also the people that we work with them are we know each other for long years, and they're really good. And so that's why we are still partners, and we will still be partners in the future, for sure.
And different size projects, different size customers, I guess, from small to large.
Yeah, from small to large. Of course, the majority of our business is done with smaller machines. But now, of course, we also are doing the very best also with these bigger machines.
Yeah.
So we are also doing this now each year more and more. And yeah, I think the future is bright, and I'm happy that we are partners with Deere.
Is there any sort of specific feedback you get from customers about the product? Or
The biggest feedback is when they decide for Deere, and when they want to change, they don't ask for another. So they want the Deere machine.
And they stay?
Yeah, they stay.
Okay.
They stay. So this is, I think, the most important thing. And yeah, all the innovations that are still ongoing. I'm really thrilled to see those innovations. And yeah, perfect.
Okay. And just a silly question, but if your company was a meal or a dish, what would it be? Could you think it could be? And what would it be?
I think we would be spicy pizza.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, spicy pizza, because it's a lot of things are happening in our company. It has a lot of flavors. It's so spicy pizza. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, Boris, thank you for talking to me, also traveling and joining us. Just take a short break, and I'm going to talk to the other couple of guests, and then you're going to come back and join us for a group discussion, if that's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect, thank you. So my next guest is Primoz Chernogoy.
Correct.
My next guest is Primoz Chernogoy, and he runs a company called Pro Prima, and he has also joined us from Slovenia. Is a leading food service consultant. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for driving and joining us. How was the drive?
Yeah, pretty intense, I said. When I started, it was really a hailstorm almost. After passing the border of Slovenia, Italy was now it's a perfect weather, and I'm really enjoying to be in this part of the Europe, this part of the Italy. So.
Okay, well, for just for our listeners, obviously, you're a food service consultant, part of the FCSI, I believe.
That's right. I'm a member of FCSI since 2010, so let's say 15 years. And this year, I was recognized as a professional member, and I'm also a member of the board of FCSI IMI. So.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. So, a little bit about your company, yourself, how you became a food service consultant?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting story. I started as a student. I finished the university for mechanical science. Mm-hmm. So I'm specialized for the steel construction. So stainless steel is in my blood.
Okay.
Specialized for steel construction and cars. But seems that year car was not so interesting for me. I started to work in with my mentor. She had the company, and I started as a student making the drawings in early version of AutoCAD software. So one of the first plans was still made by hand. So that was that period of the history when almost was hard to get the computer at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I started with the computers pretty early, with a high sophisticated computer in that time. So it was That was basically the beginning.
Okay. How many years? Do you mind me asking how many?
Wow. So I started, my first version of the AutoCAD was version number 3.
Okay.
So maybe the listener will remember I was using the green screen CCR TV. So it was pretty. So I know, 25 years ago, let's say. No, okay. More. Sorry. 35 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
35
so
years
highly experienced.
Yeah.
So ProPrima, how did it begin in... What do you have any specific markets you focus on, or is it broad in your consultancy?
I would say just the proper and really accurate planning, that is our goal. So
okay.
Focus to the customer, focus to their need, trying to find the proper, and I mean proper technical solution.
Okay.
Because I figure out that for my customer, the customer need to get the proper solution, because with a slightly different solution, the financial result at the end could be a disaster.
Okay.
So you have to be really careful in this part of the business.
Yeah, of course.
Trying to choose the proper dishwasher, trying to choose the proper, I don't know, deep fat fryer, trying to organize the layout of the kitchen, which is very important. Otherwise, you are losing time. When you're losing time, you're losing the money.
Yeah,
when
of
you're
course.
Operating. So yeah. This is very, very important.
Okay. And do you focus on everything? Hotels, restaurants, government, education?
I would say the Slovenian market is small. It's like I compare it normally with Munich, like 2 million people. But more or less restaurants, hospitals, hotels, working many times other part of the world, so
yeah.
We're making some project in Seychelles Island. We made some project in Hungary, Croatia. Now we are doing 4 hotels.
Yeah,
we have done some project in Turkey. So we are doing also worldwide.
All over.
Yeah,
and if we talk about, say, your home market, just to start mm-hmm. with,
yeah.
What are the biggest challenges that operators are facing? The moment you feel
operators have many tasks and many challenging, but I would say in the last few years the personal, how to find the proper personal, how to organize the personal, how to make the proper education of the personal, I think this is the major problem right now.
Yeah.
To get a proper idea to run the business, you will get it, but to find the proper crew, to find the proper team of which you need it.
I mean, of course.
Even if you're running a business like a fast food or the 3-level Michelin stars, you need to have the proper crew, proper team. And to organize all these people who are working in your team, it's pretty difficult, as in other businesses, I would say it. You know,
definitely. It's something that I hear worldwide, but be it from the US to, you know, Germany, to it's the same.
Yeah, can you imagine?
At the moment, it's
not a problem to find the proper equipment, but to find the proper
stuff,
educate the proper stuff to work properly. That I think is a hardest point that the food and beverage business is successful. You know,
definitely
nowadays you are. As the owner of the restaurant, for example, you're getting guests from all around the Europe, all around the world, and the guests have different habits.
You know? Yeah.
So how to train the people to serve the proper coffee to a German tourist and the proper coffee to an Italian tourist? This is a mileage in between, you know?
Yeah.
Ask my colleague here, Mark, you know? Mm. When you're ordering the coffee in Germany and ordering coffee in Italy, this is the two different stories.
Yeah, of course.
So
of course.
The German guest expecting something, Italian guest expecting something
different.
Else for the same word, espresso.
Yeah. Challenging.
Absolutely.
So just going back to your engineering, you know, base, if you like,
mm-hmm.
How does that influence your approach to kitchen design? Dishwash design, that kind of thing.
Knowledge which I get in university is actually very useful for me, especially when we are talking about the details, how to process the stainless steel.
Yes.
So when some producer or some guest are trying to explain me what kind of the joint element he want to have between one table and another table, I could immediately say, yes, you can weld that. You cannot weld it due to the thickness of the stainless steel. So this is the knowledge which really, really helps me with how to explain where is the limit of the stainless steel, for example. Because the chefs and the personnel in the kitchen expecting, yeah, it's stainless steel. Yeah, it is stainless steel, but stainless steel still could get corroded.
Yeah.
But depending what kind of stainless
steel. Crystal bend or make noise.
And, you know, the chefs and the personnel in the kitchen, when they see something silver, oh, it's stainless steel, it's indestructible. It's not true.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah,
it's not true. So you have stainless steel from A to Z. What kind of the stainless steel you will choose to be equipment proper, you know, to how to find the proper solution for the joint elements. So this helps me a lot. So.
Definitely, yeah. It gives you a unique perspective, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite unique. Yeah. Okay. I mean, obviously, as a consultant, you're working with distributors, operators, manufacturers,
owners,
every different people.
Name it, an architect.
Exactly.
Name it.
I mean, it's a question, but I mean, how important is trust and kind of after sales for you and for your customers?
This is, I think, even more important than just a selling point. Selling point, I think, is just a start.
Okay.
What is going on after the selling point, after that point, this is much more important.
Okay.
Just selling the equipment is easy.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, the client are making the mistakes because they are decided just on the budget at the beginning. When you're talking about the price of the equipment, it should be considered that we call it TOC, total cost of TOC, total cost of investment.
So, yes.
So the buying price is something. Operating price is something else. And then this all together should my client be considered that is important.
Hmm.
You know? So
is that a challenge sometimes, educating clients?
Oh, very challenging. Very challenging. Yeah. Especially if the project is, I'm talking with architects, mm-hmm. the major contractors, subcontractors, the owners and so on.
And depends who's driving it.
Yeah. And sometimes, especially when you have the major contractor who is just focusing to get the lowest price, it is very challenging, you know.
Yes, yeah. And then people don't consider that lifetime cost.
That is very important. And the Deere have the machines who are reliable, simple to use. Because nowadays you can get really sophisticated, as I said, sophisticated machine, which you can operate via phone, via computer. But is it everybody need that?
No.
No. You just need to press the button, say, look, I need the perfect result. Press the button, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just come to the end of this section, but is there any projects you can share with us without giving away to a competition? Anything exciting or?
One project was really, we have done the projects, I would say from 12 square meters, we are talking about fast food container, let's say.
Yeah.
We have done many of that, up to the university clinic, main hospital, where the kitchen was 2,000 square meters.
So everything in between.
Everything in between. But 3 years ago, I was working with the Ali Group, and mm-hmm. we made the project in really opposite side of the world.
Yeah.
On the Seychelles Island, I would say middle of the nowhere. So island
beautiful.
Was 1.2 kilometers long and 800 meters wide. That's it.
Wow.
200 kilometers away, around was just a sea, nothing.
How many guests were they?
I would say not much.
Yeah.
But the level and the type of the equipment which were installed there was really interesting. Variety of the equipment was really, really interesting there.
Okay. What high end or just,
was
just
high a end was, you know, depending. If you're making the plan for the show kitchen, it should be like high end because you're showing, you as the owner, you're showing to the guest, we have something which is interesting for you. You know?
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's a lot of private customers who wants to have the professional kitchen equipment in the private homes.
Yeah.
This is the field of the industry, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a blast chiller. Who actually 15 years ago heard about the blast chiller for the domestic use? Now you can get it.
Yeah. And we're seeing that more and more.
Yeah,
people having a full commercial kitchen at home.
Absolutely.
Because they're watching too much MasterChef or whatever.
this MasterChef also in Slovenia have the big influence to the young kids who decided that they want to visit, I don't know, the culinary school and stuff like that. Yeah.
So just final question for this section, bit of fun, but if you could invent one new piece of kitchen equipment, what would it be? It could be bold, whatever, unnecessary. What, you know?
Funny thing is that I already invited some piece of equipment,
well,
and I also put some patent on it. A little bit of patent. Yeah, I'm talking about.
I didn't even know that when I asked that question.
But nowadays, I think the producer have to combine modern technology with the standard equipment, but with a friendly use interface. My first idea is, let's say, why not combine the dishwashing machine with a camera who is following the process of dishwashing and analyzing the process at the end. Is the plate
clean
enough or it's not clean enough?
Yeah.
Today you have the technology to do that.
Yeah.
So you just built-in camera into the end of the dishwasher. You have the AI or something like a visual recognizing system, and the system will recognize is the plate clean or not.
Yeah.
Here we have the idea for the future research and development.
And then you can go further. You can have a diversion, so divert and go back again.
because the machine will not make the mistake. You know? The majority of the mistake in the process, it's a human mistake.
Mm.
So you want to exclude the human mistake to get the better result of the, if you're talking about the dishwasher, to get the better result of the washing of a plate.
You could be on something.
Yeah. So how to exclude, bring the technology into it. You know?
Perfect. Well, thank you. That brings in this section, if you like.
Yeah.
Just like Boris, we could take a short break. And then if you're okay to join us at the end, that would be great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Thanks.
Welcome to the world of Ali, the largest and most diverse food service equipment company on the planet. With over 110 brands under the Ali Group umbrella, we serve more than 150 countries worldwide. Our brands are at the forefront of innovation, offering cutting-edge technology and ergonomic designs that keep pace with the ever-evolving market. But we're not just a global leader, we're a network of local companies working together to deliver excellence. Ali Group's unmatched expertise in food service makes us the proud exclusive sponsor of Kitchen Curiosity. To learn more, visit aligroup.com.
Now I'm joined by one of the sales export managers, Marco Bunalago from Dia. I'm not saying his surname correct, so I'm sorry, Marco.
Yeah, no, it's perfect pronunciation, right.
Good to see you again.
My pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much for hosting the podcast here at the factory. I think the last time we met was in the US.
Yes, it was at Nothing Show, and we were joining some good time together.
Yeah. Exactly, and glass of Prosecco or whatever. So,
right.
We've already heard from two extraordinary guests, two different perspectives, wholesale and manufacturer and a consultant. Can you tell us about yourself, your job, and then the company here?
Absolutely. First of all, just a quick background. So I have graduated in foreign languages and economics.
Okay.
That's why I first started with a different position. I mean, in another company. And then I joined this fantastic company. I want to thank also my boss because he believed in me. And I think it was
a fantastic journey. You have to say that. He sat behind us.
Yes, right. I promise it's not to get an increase in salary. It's just because it is what I think. So I joined the company around 12 years ago.
Okay.
And it was a nice journey. I started learning a lot from the manufacturing lines. So I was literally working in the assembling lines. Then I moved to our back office, mm-hmm. helping with all the customer portfolio and knowing more about our relationships. And after 1.5 years, I started managing some areas my own. I mean, clearly, I started managing all. Well, I was at that time the only sales manager. Now we are four.
Okay.
So we are splitting the world, let's say, according to the different, let's say, areas and languages.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, as I speak Spanish and French too, I am in charge of all Latin American countries, Africa, and all Scandinavian countries down to Slovenia.
Okay.
Which is clearly the topic today.
Yeah.
And, well, DEAR, first of all, a quick thing. What does DEAR mean? DEAR means international distribution for hotels and restaurants. I think it's good to know because sometimes, you know, thanks to this nickname, you can better get into our story.
Mm-hmm.
So we were always been producing dishwashing machines from the very beginning. We started only with under-counter and hood-type machines. And then we moved to pot washers, rack conveyors, and flight-type machines. So nowadays, as we were chatting before, we are known as the leading manufacturing company in dishwashing machines.
Okay.
And if we split it by manufacturing plant, I believe we are one of the bigger, if not the biggest, worldwide.
Right, okay.
So our production...
In terms of the plant here, the factory here.
Yeah. Yes, right. Our manufacturing technology is high-tech.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy the stainless steel. We build the machine from scratches. So
yeah.
We buy the stainless steel, we cut it with laser cutting machines, we fold it and we weld it. So everything is done from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
And after this process, we deliver to our partners a product which is, let's say, simple as it is,
mm-hmm.
as we were saying before. But of course, we have ranges. So we are ranging up to high-tech machines. So we have all technologies people are aiming for, like connectivity or rings granted technologies. So let's say the range is so wide you can literally pick one, and we have other four ranges available.
Okay.
For you.
And we had a wander around the factory,
yeah,
before we started the recording today. And the thing that shook me was really the it's busy. There's a lot of production going on, and there's you're holding quite a lot of pre-prepared stock and stock. Why are you doing that?
Yeah. Well, we do like this because we feel sometimes when you feel in a hurry, or I mean our partner, or better to say the final customer, is, let's say, experiencing problems and issues with the machines,
mm-hmm.
they don't have a lot of time to wait to service the machine. So either you have partners like Helmut Bled going
yeah.
there immediately and servicing the machines and running.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you need to be quick in delivering and having, let's say, a good stock to be ready.
Yeah.
That's why we have the so-called two lungs.
Mm-hmm.
One lung is our, let's say, ready-made products.
Yeah.
So literally ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
You order today and you can get the machine the same day or the day after, according
right.
to the country we deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And we can send you a part, some after-sales kits.
Yeah.
Or better to say, we can be so fast in delivering make-to-order, so
yeah.
machines, custom-made machines, because we have like a dedicated area where we pre-manufacture the body.
Yeah.
And then we just need to get the body from this stock to our assembling lines, and we assemble the machine from A to Z.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, it's not something I've visited a lot of factories in my time, and I've not really seen that holding of that, the carcasses, the bodies.
Exactly, the cabinets.
The cabinets ready to produce. So it's a strong brand, and you've got strong international partnerships. Collaboration with distributors, consultants, what does it mean to your business? Why is it important, I suppose?
It means everything to us, of course, because
okay.
We are a leading manufacturing company. It means that we produce and deliver a unit but without the work of consultants like Primož mm-hmm. or our partners like Boris and Helmut Plett, will be nobody or nothing to say.
Of course, yeah.
So clearly, the work of consultants is essential to deliver a proper workflow mm-hmm. to the kitchen, or better to say, the washing area. And the relationship and the work we are doing with Helmut is amazing, because thanks to them, we can deliver even the same day a product.
Okay.
As we said, we are a manufacturer, but they are our thermometer
yes.
on the ground, meaning that if there is the temperature is, you know, raising exactly, we have them for a first emergency, let's say.
Of course.
While on our side, what we try to give our, let's say, core support is to be there when they need. As for example, we did yesterday. So
okay.
we were visiting a school together with the head of the gastronomy,
yeah.
Janin. And we were heading to this school to deliver the proper layout, meaning studying the right, let's say, position for the dishwashing machine, the right layout, the options, which is not something, let's say, common, as you might think. Because sometimes people, they think they need something, but they don't really need
okay.
this,
right.
let's say,
yeah.
unit or this technology. So coming back to the question, consultants are essential to deliver the proper layout.
Mm-hmm.
And our partners like Helmut are essential to us to fill, let's say, the market and to be there 100%, to be ready.
Okay, perfect. Anything you can share that's coming up for Deere? Any? I know you've got to be careful your competition, but
no worries.
Any innovations or changes or yeah?
Absolutely. Well, it's a good
and I've
question.
I've got host as well, so
it's a good question actually, because I did work as a product manager for a couple of years, and now we are after this session, let's say, after this work we did all together with our R&D and the sales, we are now ready to deliver a couple of new products.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we already launched one, which is our bottle washer, meaning that we call it a combi machine. You can wash dishes, glasses, cutlery, whatever you need. And by changing like the rack, I mean,
yeah.
wash arm, and by using a different rack, different basket, you can wash bottles,
okay.
which is very good, because nowadays every single restaurant is opting for reusing the same bottle to serve
yeah.
Water,
their own mineral
juice
water.
Or milk or whatever it might be,
yeah.
The drink. And with the same philosophy, we are now running a different track. So we want to deliver a new product, which is a one of a kind. It is still a combi machine
mm-hmm.
to wash dishes, glasses and cutlery. And with a different cycle, with a different technology, we can treat very burnt trays, heavily soiled
okay.
trays. Meaning that when you sell a combi oven, next to the combi oven, you should get a machine like this. Because when you serve the food, you take your tray, instead of soaking it into a sink
yeah.
and waste time to scrap, to wash and to rinse, you take your tray and you load it straight into the machine. The machine will do the job for you, meaning that you don't need scrap by hand, even with heavily soiled trays or pots and pans.
Okay. And a couple of final questions, but how are you responding to sustainability? It's a huge word, sustainability, but can you give us a short how
Absolutely.
You're responding to it as a manufacturer?
Absolutely. First of all, we are part of a eco-organism, meaning that we check every time all the stainless steel residuals and we recycle it.
Okay.
We try to reuse this stainless steel to build new machines. Clearly, we pay attention to everything in the production, meaning photovoltaic panels, trying to use renewable energies.
Yeah.
And last but not least, our top tech machines are ready to welcome this new, how to say, this greener future.
Yes.
Meaning that we are ready to cope with new challenges like combi machine, washing more things into only one machine, so that you can save not only money, but you can save space and you can save resources by producing only one unit and cope with these two technologies. So you can wash more things inside, the investment can be lower, and clearly the payback can be lower.
It's better, yeah.
Right.
Of course.
Our contribution in terms of water consumption, energy consumption, and run cycles is to get the machine the fastest we can, always maintaining very high quality wash results and rinse results, respecting all HACCP protocols, and delivering satisfaction. I mean, with our new Wi-Fi technologies, you can literally connect the UK, where you're based, and not only check your machine status, but you can change your parameters. You can change your cycle length, you can change your temperatures, you can deliver a different chemical dosing for your dishwasher.
All remotely.
So everything under your control.
And slightly personal questions as we wrap up this bit. So you travel a lot. I know you're all over the world.
Right.
Any favorite meals as you travel, I don't know, South America?
That's a good question. That's a good question because as I am Italian, well, it's not easy to say, but I like Mexican food.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely stunning food. Or the Peruvian cuisine is very good. They have very good dishes. Actually, Peruvian, one of
these
Peruvian restaurants.
What would be a typical Peruvian meal? What would that be?
Well, you can get whatever from like drinks, lemon-based drinks or citrus-based, let's say, drinks, up to ceviche, which is something, well, actually Chilean could claim because there's an internal fight between Peruvian and Chilean people saying.
Okay, yeah, yeah, some similarities.
Yeah, but there's a lot, fish-based or meat-based.
Okay.
Also, if you travel to Europe, you have different, clearly, kitchen specialties, but I would say Italian.
Of course.
It's difficult to beat. Yeah. And Slovenian, for example, what I like of European Eastern countries or Eastern European countries is that you get as entry or main dish soup, which is something that in Italy we don't consider like a very high-level food, and I don't know why, because you can get very
great interesting soups
and sophisticated soups. But it is what I like when I go to Slovenia to taste a lot of soups. And generally food in Slovenia is very good. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Well, Marco, thank you for that.
My
pleasure. Great insight. And I mean, you look after some great countries for visiting South America because I'm jealous about that. So we're just going to take a short break now and then the two gentlemen are going to rejoin us and we're going to have a group discussion. So thank you. So now I'm joined back by all three guests and we're going to zoom out a little bit. We've talked a lot about Slovenia and Italy. We talked a little bit about South America. But maybe if I just start us off, gentlemen, if you don't mind, if we talk about sort of the European food service market, where do you see it going in the next 5 years? I don't know if you want to start us or
as a planner. Nowadays everybody is speaking about, I call it eco bio green, you know.
Okay.
Everybody wants to have the product which is spending less water, less energy and so on to be more efficient. But what I see right now when we're doing a planning, that equipment, as Marco mentioned before, should be like a multifunctional. This I think is a future.
Be that cooking, be that dishwashing.
It doesn't matter. Right now, everybody is speaking about the cooking. So the heat process equipment is multifunctional, and also some cooking equipment is also equipped with a washing process, like a combi steamer.
Exactly.
So just to save the money, save the time, and also save the space in the kitchen. Yeah. So Marco was speaking before as a multifunctional dishwasher, which is capable to get the glasses, the plates, and also the tray directly from the oven. That I think is a future, to be more multifunctional.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about the funny story. Now they are combining the slow cooking of meat into a domestic dishwasher. So why not with a professional dishwasher?
Yeah,
because temperatures are good, are suitable to slow cook, exactly, like sous vide. So I don't know if in Slovenia could be like...
I heard about that story. So you can cook in the actually in dishwashing machines.
Yeah. Wow. But maybe at the end you will have only two appliances in the whole kitchen. I don't know. How I look, like Primo said before, I think the workforce, the personnel is still the major issue. But at the end, we are all looking forward for new innovations that will help basically to release this pressure on the workforce and to have them more time for taking time to prepare food or something like this. So, and of course, sustainability, automation, digitalization is important. But at the end, the product should be simple to use. You know, I can see when we have these very, very sophisticated new products now, some people they're scared.
Yeah.
So they don't want to work with it. They prefer the old one, even though it's not sustainable. But they know how to use it. So they just press the button. And they know what this machine will do.
So but the modern machine should be high tech but easy to use, like a user friendly. So this is something which we have to find the proper balance, or the producers have to find the proper balance between something which is could be complicated, what dishwasher could be. On the other hand, you need to, I don't know, how to combine all the function into three knobs. Simple as that.
Because they are used to press the button, then the machine does the work. Okay, it doesn't matter how much energy it consumes in this case, but they have the result. You know, they are confident. They are confident with this, let's say, old machine. Yeah. So now, of course, people, new generations are coming. They are used to new technologies. But still, we need to be to take care of all, taking care
and
also
I guess
about this.
There's a turnover of staff in some catering facilities. Maybe not in some countries, but other countries, high turnover. So the more complicated, the harder it is to have new staff, I guess.
Yeah.
This is also students are working, and of course. It's not easy.
It's not just the number of the staff. The problem is also that if the staff are coming into the kitchen, they could leaving the job in a few months.
Yes.
So you learn the staff some kind of the process, and they are leaving. So you are again in the learning process to learn your new teammates how to operate in the kitchen. This is very, for the owners of the business, this is very demanding.
Very challenging.
And I truly believe there should be a better connection, or better to say, interconnection between work and school. I mean, in Italy, for example, I don't know if it is the same for Slovenia, but students are not really prepared to enter the world of work. I mean, so they come and you just get a slap in your face.
Yeah,
just to say, come on, this is totally different. So there should be a better connection, in my opinion. Now I see universities are proposing some, how to say, internships or stage programs, as they say. But it could be better, in my opinion. So to prepare people for their
future. The food and beverage market is interesting, or the business is interesting also because of all these TV shows, like you mentioned at the beginning, like a master show, you know? Everybody wants to be a high Michelin star chef, but okay.
Not reality.
Not reality, but you know, also could with other type of the
approach,
TV shows, some other business could also grow. I always said, why not make the TV show be a master mechanic? You know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's hard to find the proper mechanic for your car.
Yeah.
So It's very popularized, you know, with the MasterChef, and that is really interesting.
And with cooking, and
yeah.
So there's some big challenges coming up for the sector. I mean, it doesn't matter where we are in the world, be it sustainability, mm-hmm. automation, robotics. Right. We talked on staffing, digitalization. What do you think are the biggest challenges, really? Not just for the equipment sector, but for the wider hospitality sector as well that we serve.
That's Marco. A very huge question.
Well, it is huge, yeah.
I truly believe that we are more and more. I mean, the world population is increasing year by year. So mm-hmm. the point is that the more we need food,
yeah.
the more we need to clearly produce food mm-hmm. and to treat food, to prepare food. So still, let's say, coming back to our sector, that there will be a challenge, and the new challenge will be try to find the right way to get massive production, food production, but still granting quality and hygiene and safety protocols. Mm-hmm. That is, in our opinion, of course, we are manufacturing dishwashers, but it is our core idea, so to stay safe in a certain sense, to avoid once more this bad period we went through during the pandemic. So
but sustainability is also connected with all want to be eco, bio friendly, sustainability. But as a guest, you're coming to other countries or to the restaurants, it doesn't matter. You are expecting that all the type of the food will be available all the days in the year.
Let's
give it as an example, you know, strawberry. You know?
Mm.
Who is ordering the strawberry in December? Come on. You know?
We
are speaking about sustainability, but we want, on the other hand, we want to have the strawberry all the year. These two things, you know,
they don't match.
It does not match. So the demands from the production, it's getting bigger and bigger, so we could not be more sustainability, you know?
Hmm.
So we, as a guest, we have to learn ourselves that if I want to order, I don't know, asparagus, I have to order in, I don't know, the beginning of the year, spring.
Yeah.
I cannot order asparagus
right
in the December, come on.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the sustainability. So in December, there are some other foods which could be interesting.
Yeah. You're right. It's a good point, actually. It's about that client expectation and demand.
Yeah,
right.
And everybody,
I
was just hearing the story about guest is always right. Yes or no. I'm not sure that I really agree with that sense.
Yeah.
I guess he's always right because he's paying for the bill. So I agree with you. But at the end, we all want, of course, this is now very modern, and it's for sure important. We all want to be sustainable. But how we will go to this to make forward with this sustainability is a big challenge, I think. So,
definitely. Do you see robotics? I mean, when we were in NAFM, they had a whole kitchen that was robotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Do you see that coming through? I mean, I talked before that I saw a thing on YouTube where a robot attacked somebody in crowd control. I don't know. Is robotics coming?
I hope not soon. I still prefer that I'm served, that I get served by a normal human being. Not to be afraid if robot will hit me.
Attack me.
But okay, we will see how it will develop.
Funny story is that the first project which we made with the robot was 15 years ago. We call it robot, like automatic system. But nowadays, I think, yes, robot, yes, for some processes, like floor cleaning, yes. But for some creative work, like a food preparing, I think I still prefer that some chef prepare for me a personal dish for me. This is something which...
Because
you are going into the restaurant to meet people. Always, in all history, the restaurant was like a place to meet your friends, you know? To drink good, to eat good, you know. And would you like to go to the restaurant, which where it will be served with the robots?
Yeah.
But me, forget about it, you know.
And what about if the new challenge is to be more human?
just go back to reality.
So advanced that sometimes when I travel to other countries that we can call them developed or underdevelopment, mm-hmm. I can see they have, you know, a lot of they are down to earth, so clearly they are taking care of the hospitality sector with all technologies they can, mm-hmm. but still with a human side. So probably that will be the challenge for the future, to go back to our origins. Why not?
And as a consultant or wholesaler manufacturer and supplier, how are you keeping ahead of these challenges, or how are you going to adapt to these challenges, I suppose? Well, yeah. Another big question for you.
Well, the key word is listening, probably. Yeah, so we listen to clearly the consultants, because they know, and clearly they are on the field as much as our partners, like Helmut Pled, because they can feel like the rage of all people saying this machine is not working, or why don't you think to change the machine to adapt for these and these special occasions. So well, I truly believe that's the thing, listening and sharing. I don't see any other
way
or around.
What they figure out with a planning point of view, yes, as you mentioned, listening and also the coordination. When we're making a plan, for example, when you're visiting the construction site, there is so many information which are coming to you. 15 years ago, the dishwasher was connected to the water and the electricity. That's it.
Yeah.
Now you have the computer cable. Now you have the Wi-Fi. Now you have the remote access to the detergent. So the number, when I started to do the plan 25 years ago, I have the plan for the kitchen with 200 connection points. Now I can easily get 500 connection points in the same area.
Yeah.
So the coordination is much more complicated.
Yes.
And you have to listen to the construction site workers, the owners, the chefs, the suppliers, because everybody have some kind of the demands. How to do it, how I will service, how I will operate, how I will bring in the equipment into the kitchen.
Yep.
Just today in the morning we have the discussion. We are making the plan for a really nice restaurant, really compact, really filled with the equipment. At the end was a question, how we will bring the equipment inside?
Yeah.
We have to smash the wall. There is no other way.
Yeah.
So this is the, listening
to
each other.
The challenge. Yesterday, we should have measured the door to know if the rack conveyor would have fit or not. Yeah.
And Boris, what about yourselves? How are you sort of keeping ahead of these challenges?
It's basically the same as my colleague said. So we first of all, because we also have distributors all over the ex-Yugoslavian market, so we need to listen to what they say, because they listen to what the end clients say. So all this information, then we speak with Deere in this case, and we try to figure out in which way. Also, Deere needs to figure out in which way it will develop its products for the future. So yes, at the end, those machines need to help people. Mm-hmm. Especially in these years when we see that so many problems with workforce, so these machines really need to be there to help people, to save time, to have better quality of end product, and I would say like this.
Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the podcast. So just a final thought from each of you, a sentence. What excites you the most about our sector? Marco, do you want to kick us off?
That's another big question here. Probably, most probably, the interactions we have.
The people. Yeah,
what we're doing now. So sharing ideas, even though maybe we don't know each other very well. Well, of course, there are people that know each other better than others, but clearly our focus is on sharing. So probably that's the key word. And that is, let's say, the reason why, or one of the things fascinating me from the very beginning when I started in this segment, let's say 12 years ago. So absolutely the interaction between all people and to be keen in delivering information, in sharing and in knowing each other.
Perfect. Sure. Okay.
I would say, like I said maybe before, it's very, I like that this business has a lot of flavors, I will say again. So,
And
if you like different flavors, so you also like this business. It's each day something different. Each day you try to find solutions for your clients, and this is and it's business that is developing all the time, and it's just great.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, for me as a planner, definitely is the task how to adapt to different wishes of their all clients, servicemen, contractors, owners, and combine all these ideas into the new project. Because it's very useful if you get sometimes the question from the person who is not in the industry, and you get question like, why you're not doing that way? Oh, I didn't think about it, you know?
Yeah.
We are doing dishwashing in the same box, like 60 by 60 by 85 centimeters for, I don't know, 50 years.
Why should we change?
Yeah, but, you know, why not, you know?
Exactly.
Why not to think outside of the border, you know?
Yeah.
To gather some other information, you know? I have a friend, you know, if I may... I have a friend who have the professional dishwashing at home, domestic kitchen. Mm-hmm. And his wife was really surprised that the dishwasher was finished in 2 minutes, you know? And he said, this machine completely changed our Sunday lunch. Because when he finished the cooking, the process of cleaning was also finished, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, oh, Jesus, I have to figure out. I have to bring my new dishwasher in my home, you know? Because the domestic dishwasher, you're waiting 1.5 hours to clean.
Yeah, of course, and then there's a queue.
Why are you waiting 1.5 hours?
Yeah. Of course.
It's possible to do it in 2 minutes, you know?
Absolutely. So, well...
And Radford, a question to you. What's your relationship with your dishwasher?
Our dishwasher is constant at home. Yeah. Our dishwasher at home is constantly on, along with the washing machine.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, it's probably on 4 times. It's ridiculous. And we're washing all the time. Like, the laundry particularly, not dishwashers, but laundry, it always amazes me.
And you're waiting 1.5 hours to finish.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not to change to the professional
one? Those two machines in our house never stop. They're constantly going.
What do you think, Jaden?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. Here we have the new operator.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for being part of it. I hope you've all enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you
very much. First podcast for you, or are you... I can tell you're media savvy, so is it first podcast? Or
for me, it's first podcast.
You've all been quite professional. We've had no edits.
Thank you.
Thank you to Deer for hosting us,
and
obviously for your insights and consultancy, and your insights as well for your market and what you're doing. Jaden, thank you for being quiet off mic. That brings us to the end of this episode, proudly sponsored by Deer, part of the Alley Group, Italian precision, global performance and trusted professionals across the world. I hope you enjoyed the episode today. If you've got any comments, email me at radford@kitchencuriosity.co.uk, or anything you'd like me to ask in future guests, please share the podcast to industry colleagues, friends, and if you get time, subscribe. Until next time, keep it clean, keep it clever and keep it curious. I've been your host, Radford Chancellor, and you've been listening to Kitchen Curiosity.
Kitchen Curiosity is written and hosted by Radford Chancellor and is edited and produced by Tom Anderson. Kitchen Curiosity is exclusively sponsored by Ali Group and is a Sound Rebel production.